Welcome to the Belfast Men's Health Group 5th podcast with Malachy Cush. Malachy is a singer, songwriter, presenter. I think I've heard him on the Hugo Duncan show as well, if I'm not mistaken. But today Malachy is going to talk about how he went from being a plumber to a singer, songwriter and presenter. And also he's going to have a wee chat about mental health and well-being in the show business world, if you will. So Malachy, thanks very much for agreeing to take part in our podcast. So I guess the first question is, tell us a wee bit about yourself, your influences, what your childhood was like growing up in County Tyrone. I think it's Donoughmore.
That's the place, that's exactly the place. And thanks for having me on the podcast, and hello to all your listeners. My name is Malachy Cush. I come from a very rural village called Donoughmore in County Tyrone, which for people who have never maybe heard tell of it, it's just a few miles outside Dungannon, which is the main Hill of O'Neill town in our county. And the village itself is just a quaint little country village. There's two pubs which have been shut now forever because of the lockdown.
That's
right. We have a butcher's, two shops, and two churches. So it's a beautiful little village with an ancient old Irish cross, which was where St. Patrick himself based his monastery in Donoughmore. So it's quite a historical little village. It's been there for countless years, and it's where the place that I call home. But I live out in the country again from that. So as I sit in my home here, I'm looking out at green fields, and at this time of the year there are no livestock in the fields. So it's just awash with a little bit of snow this morning, which is thawing. And I'm very lucky and very blessed where I came from. I suppose my childhood was very, very blessed with two loving parents. Now, my father suffered from ill health when I was young. He had a triple bypass at the age of 40.
Wow.
And spent at that time, if you think that's going back 30 years ago, so at that time it meant months in the Royal Victoria Hospital in Belfast. So I remember going to visit him in those big long tunnels. I can't remember the name of them, but they're like the old tunnels. That's a vivid memory. But we had great times. I played Gaelic football with my local club. Was part of the Amateur Dramatic Society. It was a very, very thriving little community. I went to school in the village and then on to Dungannon, where I went to St. Patrick's College, and then on to the Academy, St. Patrick's Academy in Dungannon.
Mm-hmm.
And I still, thank God, can bump into friends I went to school with. And I think that sense of community that we have here is really special and very precious to me. And where I live, my family are just a couple of miles over the road. My mother and father are still living, thank God. My sister just lives down the road. And we're all within, I suppose, a fairly good stone's throw from each other. And I'm married to Claire, who, again, is a neighbour's child. I travelled all over the world.
Yes.
with work and music, but I fell in love with a neighbour's child from Eden Dark, which is a next townland or village, if
yes.
you want, from us.
Lovely.
And we're married now. Claire and I are married now, 12 years. I'm glad I remember that, 12
wow.
years. Can you
yes.
believe that? We have no children. We haven't been blessed with children. It's something we dearly love.
Yes.
That hasn't come along, but we're very lucky. We're very content in our home, and we've had great support for each other.
Very good. Is Claire in the music industry?
No, thank God.
One's enough.
Because one's definitely enough. Claire's got a proper job. my father would generationally, people would have said that being in the music industry isn't really a proper job, it's more of a hobby. But that's not the case, of course. But perception has often been that way. But Claire's a school teacher. She teaches primary five in Dungannon.
Lovely.
Primary school.
Lovely.
And I have the lucky, I have a great opportunity to, I teach music into a couple of primary schools as well.
Yes.
And in Dungannon, we have a lot of newcomer communities over the last 20 years or so. So it's been given me, it's given me a great introduction to those families as well. But Claire teaches primary five. She's and St Patrick's Primary School in Dungannon actually is one of the biggest primary schools in the north here. And you will, outside of Belfast, it would be the biggest rural primary school. So it's a big, big school, but a very, very happy school. And she's been effectively since lockdown. She and effectively since I had an accident a couple of years ago, she's been the breadwinner of this house, and does it with great grace. And that's something, you know, you're talking about mental health. That's something for a man, you know. You have to adjust to not being fit to bring in the money and sort of sit back and accept that, you know, things change and you have to. But thankfully, you know, Claire's been really, really good, and she's worked away and been a great support, and, you know, accepting of all the changes that have happened in the world over this time. And we're lucky that she has that job, because it just means that we still have a security blanket, if you want to call it that, around our home with it.
Yeah, I think that's common to you're sort of answering the next question, which was, the pandemic has affected everyone, but particularly people in the music industry. Your opportunity for gigging and recording, how's that going, Malachy?
Well, it's been completely wiped out. But I want to start this by saying, you know, like, we in the music industry are no more entitled than anyone else. You know, I completely understand that there are so many in so many different industries who have had their lives completely turned upside down, and we're just a part of that wider community.
Yeah.
You know, I don't like it when I hear people in any industry saying that we are getting it worse off than others, because that isn't really the reality. I think everyone should look at it as we're all in a changed reality, and therefore we should all, you know, face up to those challenges together. But, like, for instance, I haven't performed in front of a live audience since last January. So
yeah.
a year actually now since I performed to a live audience. I have had some opportunities where I've done, like, I did one Facebook Live here from my home, which was a fundraising campaign for the air ambulance.
Yes.
But it's a lovely experience, but there's nothing beats being in front of people and having an audience in front of you, because it's the audience helps you as a performer.
Yes.
Your audience helps you give more, because you can sense their enjoyment, their energy, and sometimes when you're looking just down into a screen, it's hard just to realize that in your mind's eye.
There's nothing like a live gig or live music. I mean, you listen to music. I listen to music every day. I love music, but there's nothing like going to a live gig.
It's that sense of people, and again, it's that sense of community. This whole the term self isolation. I hate that term, because it isn't. I don't think it's a good term, because. We're used to being, particularly in this part of the world, we're used to being together. Let it be going down to the local pub for a pint with your mates, or my wife would have been going to her Pilates class. You're always gathering, and the music industry again is a gathering of people, like-minded people. If somebody's booking a ticket to go and see me, they're not going because they want to see what I'm like. They're going because they probably have heard me and they're like. So I'm going to have people in front of me inevitably that are with me, that support me. And likewise with any other musician or singer, their audience are always going to be with them. They're in the midst of like-minded people. They're going to be fit to sing along the lyrics and sing along the words. And those things, as a performer, they're the things that bring out the best in you as a performer. Those are the things that help you achieve those heights that you want to. In rehearsals, you do your very best to, you know, nail every piece, but whenever you're in front of an audience, you just get that little bit of extra energy from the audience that helps you. It's almost like, and I suspect this is like the same for sports stars. You know, it's like they talk about the spectators being an extra player on the pitch.
Yes.
You know, it's the same for us. You know, you thrive on that energy and that atmosphere that an audience provides, and it's been really hard. It's actually hard. I listened to a documentary yesterday on BBC Radio 2, and they were talking to a singer-songwriter. It was actually Paolo Nutini they were speaking to.
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying, how do you make money during this time? And he said, trying to write music and trying to release music. But then if you think about it, for us to get together to record music, inevitably you're usually in a studio with other people, so that has been shut down. So it's hard to do that, and it's hard to write music. I've written three songs during lockdown, and thankfully I've got a chance to record them sort of in a demo version here at home,
mm-hmm.
because I can play the piano and I can sort of do a little demo. But I'm really itching to get into the studio and lay them down properly, because I think that's the way to get the music, get new music out, get it to the radio stations. But then you're fighting with all the big stars to get, you know, to get heard in this period at the minute. So there's a lot of things. You sometimes feel like you're swimming upstream, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to go back to my my original point, and I think that this is the important thing for anyone in any industry or in any business, is that no one's unique in this. We're all mm-hmm. We're all in a changed reality, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. So moving on, I guess, Maliki, to your own health and well-being, how do you look after yourself now? I mean, one of the things that you said there was going down and maybe having a pint with your mates or your wife going out and doing Pilates, or that social interaction is all gone. What do you do now to keep yourself right, nearly?
Well, it is a hard one. I found this, I think lockdown one was a little bit of a novelty for everyone. Plus the weather was beautiful. You'll remember the sun.
That's right. You're right.
So you could set out, like I could set out the back garden here till 9 o'clock at night, and it was still daylight. There was still a bit of warmth in the air, and it was beautiful. And you could get stuck into the garden. You could do things that maybe, you know, like I found a new interest during that period in the garden, like just potting plants. And I planted some spuds, and I planted some veg, and things like that there, which are really, really good. And I found those really, really cathartic in terms of, you know, getting the hands dirty, you know, keeping the garden. And you took a bit of a pride when you sat back and looked at your work.
Mm-hmm.
And inevitably, if anybody works in gardening and that, and this was one of the things that kept me going, but drove me insane as well. As soon as you finish and you look back, you'd see another weed, or you'd see something popping up its head that shouldn't be there. Or the dog would be digging a hole where you just planted a new rose bush. Anyway, so I find that really good. Plus, I've had a good, like, you're in Belfast there. I would go down twice a week to the Royal, and was lucky that for most parts I've been fit to go down to my physio.
Mm-hmm.
I go to physio in the Royal, and that I find that really very useful in terms of keeping my physical health going, because the guidance there was really good. I have a static bicycle here at the house, so I have it at a window, and I would sit at the static bicycle and do 10-15 minutes a day. But I found this lockdown particularly more difficult, and there's been a few more reasons for that. One, of course, the darker days, the dreary weather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the weather at the minute almost mirrors the world situation, and the situation around here where there's a lot of uncertainty. But plus that, on top of that, my mother and father both got COVID in November. My father was very on hospital, and thank God they have survived and they've done well. My father-in-law sadly passed away last week to an unrelated illness that he had, and
mm-hmm.
No, that was sad too, because you know, as you know, we have this tradition of gathering at a wake, gathering at a funeral. So it was a bit more lonely for us, because you know, there's only my wife is only one sister and her mother, so effectively there's five of us in that tight family unit, and it was a bit lonely, and it's been a bit sad. Well, it's been very sad, obviously, to lose Brendan, so there's been a lot of things that have happened during this lockdown, and I think they are brought more into sharp focus because you can't actually be with people the way that you naturally would. And in times like whenever you're feeling a bit low, your natural thing is to phone a mate, a friend, a family member and say, listen, I'm going to come down and have a cup of coffee. I'm going to come on, we'll have a drink. And those things are taken away from you. And when you're denied that, then what is the alternative? So the only alternative that I have at the moment, and the one thing that I find really useful, and I think this is good for anyone, like it's getting out, pulling on a big coat, going for a walk.
That's it.
I've got a lovely golden Labrador. It's a very simple thing, you know, just going out for a walk. And sometimes I'll pray during that walk. I have a faith, a deep faith. Sometimes I'll pray the rosary during that walk. Sometimes I'll put on the ear pods and listen to some music.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I just listen to nature. But I make a point of doing that every day. And some days you'll be sitting there and say, oh, look at the weather, it's awful, it's brutal. What am I putting myself through that for?
Mm-hmm.
It's when you come back then that you feel you feel refreshed and renewed, and you feel like you've got that air into your lungs, and you feel like, you know, that really, really helps me. And you know what? Even though I'm out there on my own, I'm not really on my own, because you listen, you've got the birds swinging past you, or there's a bit of activity, there's a car passing by, somebody to wave the hand at you. You're interacting with nature, you're interacting with people, and I found that really useful for me. And I make a point of doing that every day.
Well, Malachy, they say there's no bad weather, it's just bad clothing. You've got the right clothing, you can get out and you can get out walking. And that's what hopefully most of us can do. And if you're fortunate enough to have a park or a bit of greenery about you where you can listen to the birds, absolutely. There's nothing like it. Now, Malachy, I know that you have another engagement, so we have our final question, which is, and I know you haven't had an opportunity to have a look at these, so I'm springing it on you. What is your dream job? And I end all the podcasts with this. What's your dream job? Now, you may well be in your dream job. I could nearly get that out. But have you any idea what your dream job would be? Or maybe you're in it.
Well, do you know what? My dream job, it would always have been, I had the opportunity a number of years ago, and you're quite right, I did stand and work for BBC Radio Worcester for Hugo Duncan. I also did it for the late, great Gerry Anderson and George Jones. I had the opportunity of doing stand and work there, and I really got a bug for radio broadcasting. So if there was one job that I would really love to be doing outside of what I do now, it's broadcasting, radio broadcasting. I loved it. And I do some TV work from time to time, but that radio broadcasting is something that I really, really have a grow for. I would love to, that would be my dream job. I think I'm probably a bit long on the tooth now to achieve that dream, but who knows?
You never know.
But I always thought that BBC Radio Ulster was a great team, a great family. There was always a lovely atmosphere about it. Mm-hmm. So I always thought that would have been my dream job. Outside of that, at the present time, you know, a fisherman on a Caribbean island would be pretty neat at the minute.
Yes, I'll join you there. I'll join you that one. Absolutely. Brilliant. Okay. Well, Malachy, that was great. Thank you for taking the time to have a chat with us at the Belfast Men's Health Group. And also,
it was a pleasure.
What people don't understand, behind the scenes we had some serious difficulties getting this up and going, and Malachy very kindly was very relaxed and says, Paul, whenever you're ready, I'm ready to go, but I have another engagement. If that takes priority, that's it. But Malachy, thank you for taking the time to let us get organised and get the technical hitch sorted out.
It's a pleasure. Listen, Paul, and thanks to you and to your colleagues there, to Chris, and just a word of thanks to, you know, I know you're based down in Belfast, but I spent some time in the Royal Victoria Hospital in 2019. I was there for a few weeks, and then I've been a regular there since. And I just want to pay a tribute to, because most of the staff you meet down there are from the Belfast area, to all the staff there who are working really hard, and are just just so wonderful in so many ways, and I really am indebted to them for a lot of things, but particularly now when they're really working so hard. So just a special mention to them, and thanks to you, Paul, and to all your team.
Not at all, Molly, and again, thank you. I think everybody in the Belfast Trust, particularly the physio people, they'll love to hear that. And I know we haven't got time, but you're involved in charities and all the rest of it. But you know what, that leads us on to, Malachy, maybe we'll do another one in a couple of years' time when we're out of lockdown and everybody's free, and maybe we can engage on a one-to-one, maybe get you up into one of the offices.
We'll do a face-to-face. I'll bring
face-to-face.
The guitar.
Face-to-face. Brilliant. Happy days. Right, Malachy, thank you.
God bless you, Paul.
Take care now. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.